Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Galileo Resources. Welcome back again, Colin. Twice in one day, we are privileged.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's always a privilege to be on your show. So thank you very much for inviting me again.
Just this week, we saw the completion of resource delineation drilling at the Luansobi Copper Project in Zambia, with 28 vertical diamond drill holes totaling 3,563.5 meters completed, and identifying wide zones of moderate grade near surface copper mineralization, potentially offsetting open pit pre-stripping costs, which could be expected to impact positively on project economics. Sounds like it's been a resounding success.
Yeah. If I may, I'd just like to correct your earlier statement that delineation of the ore body, it really is only concerns this open pit. The deepest hole, if you recall, is down at 1,250 meters. So this is a big ore body. How it goes, how continuous it is, it will be not phase two, because I haven't joined up the open pit mentally. The company hasn't joined up the open pit mentally with the big target, as we call it. So first of all, Phil, why did we do it? There's been so many mistakes made by companies a lot more senior than Galileo, a lot more senior, in the billions, that they make assumptions, and you know, once they've done their drill program, and that, oh, what happens down at 40 meters, 50 meters, goes right through the surface. And remember, we've actually got a raw data package that we didn't generate. The last drilling at drill holes were in 2009. And I'll admit on this show that my biggest concern was that I didn't really know what the size of the pre-strip was. So now, how on earth can you go out for tender if you don't know the size of the pre-strip? The negative, you know, the waste pre-strip. And then secondly, I was working on other people's results, which makes one very nervous, because I knew it would be a decent sized pit, anywhere between, as we've said, 3.5 to 5.5 million tons. But I was very concerned that there wasn't the difference in metallurgy and the processing performance between 0 and 30 meters or 40 meters. And I really needed to be able to, the company really needed to be able to assess what the pre-strip was going to cost and how many months would we be pre-stripping before we got income. Because let's face it, that cash deficit period for a small company can be very, very painful. So first of all, I would have thought that made a few people's eyes go wide, a vertical drilling program. But just to make sure that it's 30 degrees, is it 30 meters, is it 40 meters? And, you know, you will see pleasant surprises there, Phil, that some of the ore came in at 20. So that's very good. We've proved that the pre-strip isn't as big as we thought. That's great news. We've got ore up as high as 20 meters, and we've got thick runs of it as well. So now I can go out to get tender educated. And whoever can't, well, there'll be quite a few contractors who tender, they will have a lot more confidence too, because they're not second guessing. Because if contractors are second guessing, it's going to cost you no ifs and buts, because they're going to put in a risk factor premium. So that's good. But what has been the big gain in this program is we picked up slices, and we picked up occurrences which were not in the 2009, didn't come out in the 2009 drilling program. So we're going to add more ore because the packages are thicker. The grade in some cases are better. And so the minimum target is certainly going to be exceeded. I'm rather hoping it's going to be a 5 million ton target. We know how much the stripping ratio is going to be, and we're ready to go out to tender as soon as we can put it all together in a resource statement and a kind of finite block model, which we say to the contractor, here you are, design your pit around this, show us where your box cut's going to be. Let's get a mining plan which shows tons and grade from month zero through to full production. Commercial production, and I can go out with a very sensible, technical, well-constructed program, which is not always the case for a junior mining company. So it's been a resounding success, and you might say, well, there's more holes to come. They're a little bit out of the scope of the pit anyway, Phil, and they won't affect the final outcome. The most important thing is, what's the material like close to surface? has it got different processing characteristics? And can we minimize the stripping ratio? So for this program has been a resounding success for Galileo shareholders.
So Galileo, basically, this is 100% owned project for Galileo, yes?
No, we have a partner, and there's a mechanism for control. There's a mechanism for profit sharing and all of those good things.
And the hope when you first started this project was to create obviously an open pit that was going to produce what sort of tonnage per annum of ore, and what sort of tonnage of copper are you aiming for?
When we started this, when we got into the Lewensobi, we were first of all very, very excited about the overall potential. We knew that it was the big boys game again, and the rationale between pursuing an open pursuing an open pit was to mitigate against the cost, that we could be generating income which could go into exploration. You know, these joint ventures are fine, but when you bring the majors in, you're suddenly on their timetable and not your own, and you're on their agenda and not your own. So we thought we could fund a big exploration program with the open pit. So it was a two-phase approach, the intention being that it would be concurrent, because as you know, Galileo is reasonably cashed up, so we could do drill the deep holes the same time as we did the work for the open pits. Where we sit now, we've got a meaningful open pit which might, let's say, 600,000 ton a year. Do your own maths, 1.5%, 1.25%, and then you'll end up with a tons, and then multiply by a factor of about 0.9, 0.87, and then you'll end up with final copper tons. I've got to be very careful on these podcasts not to make projections.
It's not so much a projection. I just wanted to know what the goal of what you were looking to achieve from this situation. And whether it's 1%, 1.25, 0.75 copper, you know, all of those are variables that we don't know about. And even you can't predict them, really, because you could hit a big seam of copper and you could hit very, very little amount of copper at certain times. So over the period of the year, you know, if you got 1% copper, you'd probably be very happy. If you got 1.5, you'd be ecstatic, I would imagine.
That's about the size of it. And but let's say quantum is certainly between 500,000 and 600,000 for between 8 and 12 years. So that's a meaningful open pit. It's not a Mickey Mouse little open pit. And it's not some of the other diggings that we're involved in here and there, you know, where maybe it'll last 18 months, 2 years, finite, small pit. This is a real pit, and we'll be able to partner. And when I say partner, get an offtake partner, we'll be able to get financing for the offtake agreement and pre-operation financing, and it will be contractor operated. So in terms of what juniors are doing, an 500,000 ton a year pit is not a small pit. Yeah. And then as for the larger situation, it's got all the makings of as it goes down, it grades up. As it gets deeper, it grades up. So it's got all the makings of quite a large mine. If you shoot at the stars and miss and it's a tall tree and things work out for you, you may exit the bottom of the open pit, put your declines in and access the deeper ore. So when I say, you know, on this podcast, oh, divorce the two, in actual fact, the way the modeling and the way the pit and the way the structures are working, it may be that that's the final game. But of course, if there's all down to 1250, it's continuous. There's nobody sunk a decline yet, 1240, 1250, because it'd take you forever to truck the ore out, you know. It comes a level where you have to probably put in vertical shafts. And that probably is at 600 meters, where, you know, the trucking operation just isn't practical. Mm. So the answer is we don't know, but we've got a very nice open pit, and the potential for a really big underground mining project. Whether that's decline access, shaft access, at this stage we don't know.
Okay, one other thing I've noted that I think a lot of investors tend to forget is that Galileo holds stock in Sandfire Resources. I think it's roughly 370,000 shares, and they've had quite a good run of late. I think they're about 4.98, call it 5 Aus dollars at the moment at the current share price. So that would value that investment alone at 1.8 million Aus dollars. Yeah, do you want to add anything on that?
No, Sandfire, of course, they acquired that big mine in Spain, paid $1.8 billion for it. They're getting towards completion of their 4.5 million ton a year treatment plant in Botswana. The Grasso mine will probably give them another year. Great company, and sad to see that the chief executive left, but I understand they've identified a new chief executive, and it's a great company going places. So glad to be have them as an investor, glad to have them as a partner as well.
Yeah, I think it's Brendan Harris, isn't it? They've identified as their new appointed CEO. And I think he's got a tier one C-suite experience from what I can gather, looking at the notes.
No, I think it's a company going places. It always was. It was a very ambitious company. And I think they brought that, you know, and let's face it, when you pay $1.87 billion with a market cap of $900 million, that's quite a bold thing to do. But I think they bought the Spanish copper project at the right time. And I think they'll have to add value to it. And of course, me operating it flat out during the improved copper prices that we're all expecting next year. But I would, well, again, you know, this podcast, but ask our shareholders to look back, and everybody got a bit, you know, copper prices haven't gone where Birdie said they'd go, and, you know, and other people said they'd go. You know, the lowest was about 7,200. If you look back 8 years, that wasn't a bad price. So whatever China did and everybody did to get that share price down very, very low wasn't that successful. So, you know, I think one can belt up for a really good copper price in the new year. And, of course, Sandfire will be in a position to enjoy it. Of course, any increase goes to the bottom line.
Sounds good. Galileo's set up in a great situation at the minute, lots of different opportunities. You've got cash up. Lou and Sabi, you know, will we have a mine in 12 to 18 months, even if it's small scale? I hope so. And that would make a tremendous difference to the profitability of Galileo, I think, and put you on track to do very well with some of the other projects as well.
Well, don't forget the lithium. Don't forget the tin. Don't forget the nickel down in Bulawayo, which came right from left side. We never expected that one. And don't forget the very, very positive gold results. And gee whiz, it really is very nicely placed, as well as its position in the Kalahari. So Luan Sabi is one of many. And there's project within that portfolio competing like hell for first place.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Galileo Resources. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net